And please do not hesitate to send in your comments, observations, suggestions via our website on www.von.gov.ng. On that note, we're starting with our regular half-hour news package, Vaughn Scope, and Jude is waiting on standby to bring you that. My name is Zeliha Ibrahim, and I will be your duty continuity announcer. Stay with me and enjoy the program, Vaughn Scope.
Hello and welcome to Vaughn Scope, a half-hour program of news, views, comments, and analysis of issues coming to you from Voice of Nigeria, Abuja. You can listen to this broadcast on www.vaughn.gov.ng. Nigerian government approved the final report that will improve the nation's basic health care. What impact will this have in the life of the Nigerian citizen? The headlines: Nigeria government approves youth inclusion initiatives for development. Senegal president-elect pledges transparent governance. And Israel cancels Washington meeting after UN Gaza ceasefire vote. All these are coming up, including economic and sports news, today in history, and our African proverb in the course of this program, Vaughn Scope. My name is Jude Kankara. Stay with us. We begin with a World News Bulletin, where the Nigerian government has approved two initiatives aimed at fostering better inclusion and development opportunities for the teeming youth population in the country. Minister of Youth Jamila Bio Ibrahim made this known to State House correspondents after the Federal Executive Council meeting presided over by President Bola Tinubu at the Presidential Villa Abuja. Bio Ibrahim said that the council has approved the institutionalization of a 2% youth quota and the restructuring of the Nigerian Youth Investment Fund. She said the landmark decision is aimed towards encouraging youth participation in civic engagements and decision-making processes, thereby empowering them to contribute to Nigeria's national development agenda. The British Council, in collaboration with the National Universities Commission, NUC, of Nigeria, says there is need to further enhance curricular development in tertiary institutions, which will improve teaching and learning, as well as equip students with skills in Nigeria. Director of Programs at the British Council, Chikodi Onyeremela, stated this at the workshop on the topic, Enhancing Curriculum and Pedagogical Approaches to Nigerian Universities in Abuja, Nigeria's capital city. He said innovative and effective curriculum, pedagogical approach, research and leadership will set the path for the desired 21st destination in Nigeria, where academic outcomes meet industry needs. The acting executive secretary of the NUC, Chris Miyaki, called for continuous curriculum reform in Nigerian universities to enable them adapt to a fast-changing world. Amnesty International has applauded the Nigerian government for the release of 137 school children from the Kuriga School, Kaduna State, Northwest Nigeria, who were abducted by gunmen on the morning of March 7, 2024. Amnesty International urged the Nigerian authorities to intensify efforts to ensure the safe rescue of hundreds of people who have been abducted and held in captivity by gunmen for years. It stressed the necessity of conducting an impartial and independent investigation into these abductions to ensure that those suspected of responsibility are brought to justice through fair trial. Amnesty International emphasized the urgency of the government to address the root causes of insecurity and implement effective measures to prevent further abductions. The Nigerian government has commended foreign service officers for teaching the Academy of International for launching rather the Academy of International Affairs. Vice President Kashim Shettima, represented by Special Advisor on Political Matters Hakim Baba Ahmed, made this known at the official inauguration and investiture of the Academy of International Affairs Nigeria, a private-led think tank that aims to contribute to foreign policy formulation and implementation in Nigeria. A former Nigeria head of state, Jacobu Gowon, described the emergence of the academy as timely, especially now that President Bola Ahmed Tinubu is heading ECOWAS.
The establishment of this academy of this caliber, bringing together some of our nation's brightest minds in international relations, is highly commendable.
The academy is founded by Professor Bola Akinyemi, a former Nigerian Minister of External Affairs. And across Africa now, Senegal's president-elect, Bassirou Diomaye Faye, has pledged to govern with humility and transparency in his first speech after Sunday's poll. Faye said that one of his main priorities as president will be national reconciliation following 3 years of unrest and a political crisis in the country. He also vowed to fight corruption at every level, rebuild institutions and tackle the cost of living crisis. The provisional results put Mr. Faye in a lead with about 53.7% and Mr. Ba with 36.2%. Faye's main rival from the governing coalition, Amadou Ba, has already conceded defeat, setting the stage for the 44-year-old to become the youngest president in the country's history. And finally, Israel has cancelled a meeting in Washington after the U.S. declined to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The resolution, which also called for the release of all hostages, followed several failed attempts at similar measures since the 7 October attacks. This part comes amid calls for urgent action to avert a famine in Gaza. Israel and U.S. officials had been due to meet to discuss Israel's planned offensive in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where some 1.5 million Palestinians have sought shelter, having fled the fighting elsewhere in Gaza. And that's it on the World News Bulletin. You're listening to Vaughan Scope on Voice of Nigeria. You can listen to us live via our Facebook page, Vaughan Newscast, one word. We're also on www.vaughan.gov.ng, as well as all social media platforms. Nigeria's Federal Executive Council, FEC, has approved the final report that will improve the nation's basic health care. Minister of Health, State for Health, Mr. Tunji Alausa, who disclosed this to State House correspondents at the end of this week's cabinet meeting chaired by President Bola Tinubu, said the report is to boost the Basic Healthcare Provision Fund. He adds that the healthcare fund will also help increase immunization and maternal and child health for Nigerian children.
In furtherance of Mr. President's commitment and firm belief that healthy nation is the core to harnessing our greatest asset, which is human capital, Council approved the report of a basic health care provision fund and sector-wide approach. A sector-wide approach was launched on December 12, 2023 by Mr. President, where Mr. President signed a compact agreement with 36 state governors. With a sector-wide approach, what we've done, as well as with our basic care provision fund, which has 1% of the consolidated revenue going into it, the three gateways of the basic care provision fund, the primary health care gateway, the national health insurance gateway, and the emergency services gateway. So what we've done with the sector-wide approach is to align what our development partners are spending so that we can begin to eliminate the defragmentation that we have in the system where there are no coordinations with our basic health care provision fund and our development partners. So what we've done now is to align and coordinate so that more resources will be directed to our primary health care centers where we'll have more money to increase our immunization to our children, also direct more money to maternal and child health, direct more funds to sexual and reproductive health.
The health minister also announced that the council will give approval for the procurement of a computed tomography scanner, popularly called CT scanner, for the teaching hospital in Gombe State, northeast Nigeria. He said this was taken in line with President Bola Tinubu's commitment to the provision of comprehensive health care for all Nigerians.
Commitment of this government to further improve our infrastructure in our healthcare system. We also approved the purchase of state-of-the-art 128-seat scanner for the Federal Teaching Hospital Gombe. More of this infrastructure project will be coming to FEC in due course. This is just to reemphasize President Bola Tinubu's commitment to continue to meet his campaign promises to Nigerians. And one of it is that in the healthcare sector, ensuring that every single citizen of Nigeria is entitled to having meaningful and comprehensive healthcare.
That was Nigeria's Minister of State for Health, Mr. Tunji Alausa. Still on the fact, the Nigerian government has approved the sum of 1.267 trillion naira for the construction of 28 roads and bridges across the country. Minister of Works, Dave Umahi, made this disclosure whilst briefing State House correspondents at the end of the council meeting presided over by President Bola Tinubu at the State House, Abuja.
Totaling 1.267 trillion, they were all approved by FEC, having gone through the BPP, and we got certificates of no objection. Council also approved the Buruku Bridge that is going across Kasenala in Oyo River in Benue State. The bridge is twin bridge that is matching the dualized roads there, and each of the bridges is about 850 meters. So we put the two together, it's 1.7 kilometers, and it's costing about 83.799 billion. There was also approval by FEC on for a road, you know, Shaki to Okerete Road in Oyo State. The road is 91.432 kilometers, 144 billion.
In a related development, the Minister of Youth, Jamila Bio Ibrahim, says the Federal Executive Council also approved two initiatives aimed at fostering better inclusion and development opportunities for the teeming youth population of Nigeria.
Well, the fund was initially a 75 billion fund with 25 billion annual releases for youth-led and youth-owned enterprises in priority sectors. Well, we have secured council approval for the immediate release of the 25 billion from this 2023 Supplementary Appropriation Act and an additional 25 billion from the 2024 Appropriation Act under the Youth Development Fund for Youth Development Fund Appropriation and the Budget. And we also received an additional approval from Council for a 60 billion release from the Central Bank of Nigeria through the Agri Investment for Small Medium Enterprises, the AgSMIT scheme. Well, this will go a long way to support young businesses and bring a lot of succor to young persons.
The Minister further highlighted that the implementation strategy for the Renewed Youth Investment Fund will involve the establishment of clusters where young people would guarantee each other and focus on commodities with the comparative advantages across the six geopolitical zones. Meanwhile, the Sokoto State Commissioner for Information and Orientation, Sambo Bello Lenteji, has expressed appreciation to the joint efforts of the Nigerian Army, Office of the National Security Advisor, and other security operatives that led to the rescue of 17 abducted Tsangaya students and a lady in the state. Lenteji, in an interview with Voice of Nigeria Northwest correspondent Ismail Umar, said the success indicated that the present administration of President Bola Tinubu regards security of lives and property of its citizenry as its major priority.
The efforts were crowned with success because the 17 students from an Islamic school at Gidamba Kuso in Gada local government area of Sokoto State were, and one lady, making 18 of them in all, were rescued successfully through the joint effort of the Army, the Office of the National Security Advisor in Abuja, the Sokoto State Government, and even the local government administrative network in Gada local government. They all played their own part in a way. But most importantly, we must give credit to the excellent cooperation and coordinating effort of the Sokoto State Government and the Nigerian Army, as well as Office of the NSA, because the students were finally rescued in Zamfara State, not even in Sokoto State, and you can imagine the distance between Gada and the area in Zamfara where they were finally rescued. The Sokoto State Government is exceedingly happy that at long last this period of agony has come to an end. An agony for the families, agony for the victims, and even agony for the government itself. Because to have as many as 16 young boys, you know, being taken into the forest.
That was the Commissioner of Information and Orientation, Sokoto State, Northwest Nigeria, Sambu Bello Danchedi. The Nigerian government says it will soon conduct a mini census on schools across the country to generate data that will be used to solve challenges facing the sector. Minister of Education in Nigeria, Professor Tahir Mamman, said that this while declaring open a 2-day capacity building workshop for desk officers in the ministry, its departments and agencies. Correspondent Acheme Jack reports.
The minister said the census will make Nigeria less dependent on UNICEF, UNESCO and the British Council, among others, for data for planning, decision-making and implementation of policies. He said the exercise, which the agreement will soon be signed, will be carried out in partnership with a private firm that will work along with the Information and Technology Department of the Federal Ministry of Education to generate data on all schools in Nigeria. He said the census will enable the ministry to know the numbers of teachers and every single student, provide data to know the trend of teaching and learning in schools, the status of infrastructure, the location of schools, and the number of boys and girls in schools, among others.
The data on teachers will help us know teacher-student ratio in every state, every local government, in every school. It will also help us know the training and capacity of the teachers. We'll know those who are in school and who are out of school just from our dashboard in Abuja here, or the governor's dashboard from his own state, or the local education authority secretary. From the dashboard in his own local government, he'll be able to provide that information from his own local government. That is the whole essence of data. We can address issues of inclusivity, inadequate learning. So that's one thing that we must deliver, and we have resolved we are going to deliver it. It's a mini census. It's a census of this sub-sector, which is critically necessary for everybody.
The minister said the data would also help to advise the state governments on the right policy for schools, as well as enhance discussions with development partners on areas of interventions. He said the workshop aims to further equip the desk officers on the timely implementation, collation, harmonization and reportage of ministerial deliverables, especially the new education roadmap.
Yes, they captured a lot of what we were doing, but they were not quite focused. So they need to be sharper in terms of the information they generate and report.
The Minister of State for Education, Dr. Tanko Sununu, said the expectation is that the training will upskill and enhance participants' capacity to qualitatively track, collate, collect, harmonize, and report their activities, programs, and projects in their various departments and organizations. The Senior Education Officer, Foreign Commonwealth Development Office, Ian Atfield, pledged to support the government in actualizing the deliverables, as well as support in addressing the learning crisis through continuing education financing. In Abuja, Acheme Jack reporting for Voice of Nigeria.
The Academy of International Affairs, AIA, a private think tank on issues of international relations, foreign policy and diplomacy, has been inaugurated in Abuja, Nigeria. The Academy of International Affairs was founded 2 years ago by former Nigeria Foreign Affairs Minister Professor Bolaji Akinyemi for the purpose of brainstorming intermittently on issues bordering on Nigeria's foreign policy. Ambassador Dahiru Suleiman, a retired Nigerian diplomat, in an interview with Voice of Nigeria correspondent Aduba Echono, said the focus of the Academy is to undertake deep and critical thinking on all thematic issues pertaining to strengthening Nigeria's national image and international standing.
It's a new body comprising prominent intellectuals, and I hope when they make recommendations to the government, after serious deliberation, the government will listen to them. Just like our Association of Retired Career Ambassadors, we also meet and send recommendations to the government. So you now have two different bodies sending recommendations to the government. Whether the government is going to work with the recommendations, that I cannot tell. But what I can tell with all certainty is that the Association of Retired Career Ambassadors and this one are composed of serious-minded intellectuals and diplomats. And I was happy to know that among the members of this new body, majority of them are my colleagues in the Association of Career Diplomats. So, since happened in Nigeria, you cannot be categorical about what is going to happen. But I know our association that we shorten it by saying ARCAN, that Association of Retired Career Ambassadors. And this particular one, the government will listen to us. The experience we have had, nobody else has that experience. And from my experience in other countries, I served in 9 different countries. They take their retired diplomats seriously. But here in Nigeria, once you retire, they abandon you. They don't even want to know that you are around. For example, I'm not boasting, but I'm very knowledgeable about what is going on in Sudan and the Republic of South Sudan, because I served 2 times in Sudan. I know the leaders in the Republic of Sudan and the Republic of South Sudan, but nobody has ever asked me a simple question from the government or from the ministry about what is going on in those 2 countries. So we have a reservoir of knowledgeable people, but we are not using them, unlike what happens in other countries. That is what I will say.
The president administration, they've come up with the 4Ds, foreign policy.
Yes.
What's your take on that policy?
Fortunately enough, about 2 months ago or so, the foreign minister, Ambassador Tuga, gave a lecture in this rotunda on the direction of Tinubu's foreign policy. We were all happy that he addressed us and told us exactly what the direction is.
That was Ambassador Dahiru Suleiman, a retired Nigerian diplomat. You're listening to Von Scoba, half hour news magazine from Voice of Nigeria. Up next is economic news with Jennifer Inna.
The Natural Deposit Insurance Corporation, NDIC, says it remains committed to ensuring that those who contribute to the failure of banks are properly investigated and prosecuted. The Managing Director and Chief Executive of the NDIC, Mr. Bello Hassan, made the remark during a courtesy visit to the Executive Chairman of the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, Mr. Ola Olukoyede, in Abuja. Mr. Hassan explained that the NDIC plays a critical role in combating financial crimes within the banking sector through its mandate, which includes bank supervision and liquidation of licensed banks. The EFCC chairman, Mr. Ola Olukoyede, emphasized the interconnection between criminal activities and bank failures while urging the Nigerian Deposit Insurance Bank and the Central Bank of Nigeria to prevent the risk of bank failure. He also pledged the EFCC's commitment to deepening collaborations and synergizing efforts to combat financial crimes, thereby safeguarding the integrity of Nigeria's banking sector. The 2023 presidential candidate of the Labour Party, Mr. Peter Obi, says improved investment in agriculture will address the problems of insecurity, poverty, inflation, and food security affecting the country. Mr. Obi, who is also the former governor of Anambra State, stated this when he visited the governor of Kebbi State, Northern Nigeria, Mr. Nasir Idris. He described agriculture as the backbone of Nigeria's economy.
Again, number one of our need today in the country is hunger. Nigerians are spending almost all their earnings in feeding themselves. So you could see, by us producing more from agriculture, we will deal with the issue of hunger. If people are doing something, you reduce criminality. It's been used to fight agitation and criminality all over the world.
Mr. Obi acknowledged the position of Kebbi State as an agricultural hub, adding that it has the capacity to feed the nation through increased production. And finally, on economic news, the British International Investment says it has agreed a $100 million finance facility with the Eastern and Southern African Trade Development Bank to boost trade finance, farming, and food security in the region.
The development lenders said the finance will help fund trade, including importing and exporting goods on the continent. British Minister for Development and Africa, Andrew Michel, stated that this investment underscores the UK's government's commitment to supporting economic and agricultural development across Africa. And that's the much we can take on economic news. I am Jennifer Ina.
And up next is Sports News Update with Solomon Chung.
Hello and welcome to Sports News. Nigeria's Minister of Sports Development, Senator John Eno, has commended the outstanding performance of Team Nigeria at the just concluded 2023 Africa Games in Ghana, just as he, in behalf of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, welcomed the athletes and officials back to the country. Team Nigeria came second in the games with 47 gold, 33 silver and 41 bronze medals, behind winners Egypt, who got 101 gold, 46 silver and 42 bronze. He said for 2 weeks, 52 countries fiercely contested for honors in 29 sports, dwelling in the most competitive manner to win laurels for their countries, and Nigeria was involved in 25 of those sports. He further stated that for the duration of the games, not just Africa but also the world witnessed the full demonstration of the unyielding spirit of the African continent, and we are at the center of all the development, and more than underscored the great Nigerian possibility and what it portends for Africa and the world.
I welcome you back heartily, and I thank and I congratulate every one of you for all the wonderful performance that you recorded in Accra, Ghana. You demonstrated again the fact that Nigeria is the giant in sports in Africa. The country is very happy, the country is very proud of your achievements, individually and collectively. And I have continued to say, we're going to continue to keep the welfare of our athletes, our sportsmen and women, at the front burner of whatever we do in the ministry.
But Eagles interim head coach Finidi George is looking forward to recording a second consecutive victory with the team. Finidi's reign started on a good note with the Super Eagles scrapping past eternal rivals Ghana 2-1 last week. The three-time Africa champions will be up against Eagles of Mali in their second friendly at the Grand Stade de Marrakech on Tuesday. The likes of Victor Osimhen, Taiwo Awoniyi, Tyrone Ebuehi and Gabriel Ochoa couldn't honor the invitation for the two friendlies due to fitness concerns. In a related development, Super Falcons head coach Randy Waldrum has extended invitations to captains Rashidat Ajibade, US-based Africa queen Asisat Oshoala, and high-riding goalkeeper Chiamaka Nnadozie among a group of 22 players for the two-legged Paris Olympics final qualifying fixture against South Africa next month. Regulars like Ashley Plumptree, Tony Payne, Michel Aloisie, Ifeoma Onumonu, and Uchenna Kanu were also included in the squad. That's our package on sports news. Thanks for listening. I am Solomon Chung.
It's been pretty hot in major cities across Nigeria. Let's now join Margaret Ebeshi for the latest on the weather. Margaret?
This is the weather forecast across Africa for Tuesday, 26th March 2024. Nigeria Meteorological Agency, NIMET, predicts dust haze to the northeast, leaving other parts of the north in sunny and hazy atmosphere. The central and southern cities will have patches of clouds during the morning hours, with prospects of thunderstorms to Cross River, Akwa Ibom, and Lagos State. Later in the day, widespread thunderstorms are expected to the southern region, as well as to the Federal Capital Territory, FCT, Kogi, Kwara, and Benue State in the central. General temperatures will range from 33 to 42 degrees Celsius across the country. Across Africa, Banjul, Gambia in West Africa will have sunny intervals with a temperature of about 34 degrees Celsius. Asmara, Eritrea in East Africa will have sunny skies with a temperature of about 25 degrees Celsius. Also, Khartoum, Sudan in North Africa will have sunny skies with a temperature of about 35 degrees Celsius.
An African proverb says, a child's fingers aren't scalded by a piece of hot yam which his mother puts in his hand. It means no matter what it may be, real love will never kill you. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Vaughan's Cup. But before we go, a recap of our major stories. The Nigerian government has approved two initiatives aimed at fostering better inclusion and development opportunities for the teeming youth population in the country. Senegal's president-elect Bassirou Diomaye Faye has pledged to govern with humility and transparency in his first speech after Sunday's poll on Israel has cancelled the meeting in Washington after the U.S. declined to veto a UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. You can listen to Voice of Nigeria on www.vaughn.gov.ng. You can also send your comments, your thoughts with us by writing to englishvaughn@yahoo.com or on X. The handle is @VoiceofNigeria. Production was by Margaret Aklo. And my name is Jude Kankara. Goodbye.
That was the program Vaughn Scope. I have our news magazine from Voice of Nigeria. Send in your comments, observations, suggestions via our website on www.von.gov.ng. And now, as promised, we'll be bringing you the program Beyond Poverty Line, a program that talks about ways of alleviating poverty in our society. My name is Zeliha Ibrahim. I'll be here to guide you through.
The Nigerian Bank of Agriculture Limited, BOA, was incorporated as Nigeria Agricultural Bank, NAB, in 1972 and became operational in 1973. In 1978, the institute's name was changed to Nigeria Agricultural and Cooperative Bank, NACB, Limited, to reflect a broader mandate. In 2010, the bank was rebranded and a new name was adopted as Bank of Agriculture, BOA, in line with institutional transformation in achieving her established mandate for Nigerians. It's on that note, dear listener, that I welcome you to the program Beyond Poverty Line. Our focus on this edition is the achievements of Bank of Agriculture on poverty reduction in Nigeria. We're reaching you from the studio of Voice of Nigeria, and my name is Chikizie Ibe. Stay tuned for more details. I'll be right back. Agriculture is an important sector of the economy with a higher potential for employment generation, food security, and poverty reduction. In Nigeria, agriculture is largely dominated by subsistence farming. However, with imported seedlings, modern farming methods, and a better weather forecast, agriculture has continued significantly in the country, more especially with the financial supports and other incentives to farmers nowadays. Emmanuel Ijewere, the chairman of Best Foods Farms, emphasizes on the recapitalization of the Bank of Agriculture for optimum performance.
First, what they have already started doing. The first thing they did, which was the right thing to do, was to put in place professionals. They have completely reorganized the management of the bank. Virtually all those that run the bank, from the managing director, the executive directors, and the top executives, are all from the private sector. So there's a private sector mentality that's been brought in. So it's a new ball game we're talking about. It's not like what used to happen. So we've talked about history. Now we're going to talk about the reality of today. I think there's no better time than now. And I'm glad that this minister has now set a 90-day period within which to be done. Because the longer it takes, the more we just lose interest in it. It's the what government has done here is a very good one. I don't think it's in the interest of going forward for the government to hold 40% of the shares. It should be run like a private company. The moment people continue to believe that government owns a substantial part of it, that's bad psychology comes back into it. There's enough funding in the country today. If you look at all the various levies and so on, the central bank, it's about one trillion naira. that the central bank is holding, doing nothing. You have the sugar, you have the cocoa, all those things that monies were collected as levies that have been kept in the bank. These are monies that could have been used, but it should not be used the same way it was used in the past. You're putting a good management there, let it be run like a private sector company. No farmer that I know that's a genuine farmer would not wish to pay back his loan. All he's looking for is, understand my problem, let's work together. Because every farmer that I know is a hard-working person and an honest and trustworthy person. So I believe that it's not just farming. Again, the mentality that will not go into it, because in the past, the philosophy of government has been supply, supply, supply. Now, it should be demand. That means that you don't even plant anything unless you have an off-taker. So there will be a tripartite arrangement. The off-taker, the bank, and the farmer. The three of them must work together as a team. That's the kind of future we're looking for. And that is called agribusiness. Not necessarily farming, but also along the entire value chain.
The mandate of the Bank of Agriculture is to provide agricultural credit facilities to all agricultural value chain activities. According to 2018 total estimates by the International Food and Agriculture Organization, IFAO, a total of 59.5 million metric tons of food was being produced in Nigeria. This impressive record, no doubt, was as a result of Bank of Agriculture and its support for subsistence and mechanized farming, which had a significant impact on food security and job creation in the country. Mohammed Santoraki is the former managing director of Bank of Agriculture in Nigeria.
Since 1973, the bank has advanced about 70 billion. But only recently, that means over the course of last year, the bank, through the Anko Borrower Program, has advanced about 20.1 billion naira to farmers under the Anko Borrower Program. And obviously, the output is clear in terms of rice. This is where what I'm citing, that about 730,000 metric tons of paddy rice was produced, and you could see it. If you go to Kebbi, this is a place that is bustling with activities. Employment opportunities have also been created, with more than 113,000 smallholder farmers given job. Of course, there are direct and indirect effects, which amount to about 560,000 farmers that benefited under the Anko Borrower program. Because of its success, now several states, about 12 states, are coming forward to participate under the Anko Borrower program.
Capital is regarded as a major factor for expanding production and modernization of agriculture in any given economy. This is to say that credit facilities to farmers can facilitate and foster the development of agriculture for efficiency, food security, and wealth creation for the teeming population of the country. In the meantime, the major problem of smallholder farming is lack of access to capital or credit facilities. Professor Dambala Danju is the former managing director of the Bank of Agriculture, Kaduna, Northwest Nigeria.
The Bank of Agriculture, the agricultural sector in general, until the advent of this administration, seems to have suffered relative neglect. But with the coming of this administration, there is a concerted one to revive it. Essentially, the mandate of the bank is to provide agricultural credit as well as non-agricultural credit. It also provides information system, but especially to people in the rural areas. With branches all over the country, the bank has since 1973 been supporting farmers in various ways. As of today, the bank has advanced over 70 billion naira to the agricultural sector. The current portfolio of the bank is about 29.4 billion naira. So in essence, it's still the main bank in the agricultural sector. And of our collaboration with the central bank under the Anchor Borrower Program has enabled us to support farmers, especially in Kebbi, more than 70,000 farmers. And now, because of the success of the pilot program in Kebbi, the program is to be extended to the rest of the country.
Some of the recent achievements of the Bank of Agriculture in boosting and expanding production in Nigeria are the disbursement of over 3 billion naira to 22,120 smallholder farmers through the Agriculture Value Chain Financing Program. This initiative by Nigerian Bank of Agriculture has significantly improved the output of subsistence farmers in the country. Alwan Hassan is the Managing Director of Bank of Agriculture, located in Kaduna, Northwest Nigeria.
Nations felt they have made a mistake. Beware, we're sorry. How do we move forward? How do we get this money back? How do we get this money back to you? Because the governor of CBN is very annoyed. Say he can only deal with us going forward. They said I've recovered about 9 billion naira. When he said, how much is 9 billion when you compare with the loan of about 90 billion? Can you imagine there's no loan for people that are farming rice or maize? How do we survive?
I think government must take the decision that it needs to really subsidize agriculture in a big way. We are talking about food security for 200 million people, and this food security depends on the productivity of small-scale farmers, some of whom have less than 1 hectare.
In addition to that, the Nigerian Bank of Agriculture has funded 49 agro and food processing businesses with a huge sum of 59.4 billion naira in loans. These efforts by the Bank of Agriculture have led to increased production output and created an estimated 286,581 jobs in the country. Dr. Tayo Adulogu is a CEO of the Nigerian Economic Summit Group. He talks on the positive legislation for farming incentives to farmers in the country.
We're envisaging the Vision 2020. A big part of what we looked at in agriculture was to cost and drive a pivot in agriculture from agriculture for survival to agriculture as a business, and which was our advocacy for almost 7 years. That led up to a national summit on agriculture, where we then said it was time to sit down and envisage what the future of agriculture will be. The Agri-Transformation Agenda came out of that summit, and the impetus we saw in private sector-led investments was a result of that. Did a gap assessment on legislations in trying to reform the Nigerian economy, and we noted how there were many archaic laws within our national laws that hindered the ease of doing business, hindered the environment in which business could succeed. Those deficits led to us saying to ourselves that it was time to transform our laws. We counted 115 laws at that time that were outdated.
Since its creation, the Nigerian Bank of Agriculture has contributed immensely to the economy of Nigeria through job creation and food security. Nevertheless, one worrying factor or challenge encountered by the Bank of Agriculture is non-repayment of the facilities granted to farmers and some industry owners. Therefore, to ensure the optimum performance, the beneficiaries of the facilities granted by the bank ought to repay timely. This can greatly facilitate the Bank of Agriculture to redouble the achievements and purpose of its establishment. Well, dear listener, that's where we conclude this week's edition of the program Beyond Poverty Line, where we focused on the achievements of the Nigerian Bank of Agriculture on poverty reduction in Nigeria. You can share your comments and observations by writing to the producer, Beyond Poverty Line, Voice of Nigeria, PMB 40003, Falomo, Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria, or PO Box 5089, Wuse Post Office, Abuja, Nigeria. You can also reach us through our email address at vonenglishproducers@gmail.com. Visit our website, on www.von.gov.ng for our live stream. You can also listen to us via the Voice of Nigeria mobile app, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and the TuneIn app, all available on any of your preferred app store. The program was produced by Isaac Desemela. Comfort Giwa was on the audio console. And my name is Chikezie Ibe. Thanking you so much for staying tuned. Goodbye.
That was the program Beyond Poverty Line. I do hope you enjoyed every beat of it. Let's go on a short break, and when we return, we'll bring you talks on Ramadan.
What are you reading, my dear?
It's a book about African businesswomen, Daddy.
Oh, that's nice.
I wish I could be one too.
And you can, my dear. You are going to be a woman someday, and you will make your own life choices.
Visit your local health clinic to learn about the range of reproductive health and family planning services available and choose what method works best for you. An HIV-free generation is possible. It begins with you.
I think it's time we had another child.
What? Well, I don't think I'm ready for another child just yet.
But I'd like another child.
My dear, don't I have a say in this? My body needs to get stronger, and we need to be well prepared.
You're right. Let's wait. That way we can prepare ourselves better financially too.
Visit your local health clinic to learn about the range of reproductive health and family planning services available and choose what method works best for you. An HIV-free generation is possible. It begins with you.
A rhythm of love from Nigeria. The country that defines the future of Africa. Voice of Nigeria, your authoritative choice.
It is perhaps best that we...
Hey, check out that hot stunner in the red top. Temptation is everywhere. Women in all shapes and sizes.
You think you can play the field from one woman to the next like a soccer ball? You're risking your life and the lives of people you care about.
Life's about risks, bro. Don't get me wrong. I love my wife, but I need variety.
Talk to your wife about your needs. You might be surprised at what she wants.
Imagine a world where people understand that having more than one partner at the same time greatly increases their chances of getting HIV and puts their loved ones at risk. Imagine the possibility of an HIV-free generation. It begins with you.
You're listening to the English service of Voice of Voice of Nigeria, the authoritative choice of promise. We'll be talking on Ramadan. Now, Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar, and it is considered one of the holiest months for Muslims worldwide. It is a time of fasting, prayer, reflections, and community for millions of Muslims around the world. Now, here are some key aspects to discuss extensively about Ramadan. Number one is fasting, which is known in the Arabic context as Sawm. One of the five pillars of Islam, and fasting during Ramadan is obligatory for adult Muslims, with exceptions for certain groups such as the elderly, pregnant or nursing women, and travelers. Fasting begins at dawn, which is known in the Arabic context as Sahur, and ends at sunset, Iftar. Now, during this time, Muslims abstain from food, drink, smoking, and other physical needs as an act of self-discipline, devotion, and spiritual purification. Number two, spiritual reflections. Ramadan is a time for deep spiritual reflections and increased devotion to Allah. Muslims focus on prayer, reading the Quran, engaging in charitable acts, sadaqah, and seeking forgiveness for past sins. The midnight prayers, known as Taraweeh, are particularly significant during Ramadan, and with extra prayers offered after Isha prayer. Number 3, community and charity. Ramadan emphasizes community bonding and charity. Muslims often come together for iftar meals to break their fast, either at mosques, community centers, or with family and friends. It is also a time for increased charitable giving, as Muslims are encouraged to help those in need through zakat, obligatory charity, and sadaqah, voluntary charity. 4. Laylatul Qadr, known as the Night of Power. Laylatul Qadr is considered the holiest night of the year, occurring during the last 10 days of Ramadan. It is believed that this night holds special blessings and Muslims engage in intense prayer and worship, seeking Allah's forgiveness and forgiveness. Eid al-Fitr. Ramadan concludes with the celebration of Eid al-Fitr, a joyous festival that marks the end of fasting. Muslims gather for communal prayers, give zakat al-Fitr, a form of charity, and exchange gifts and enjoy festive meals with family and friends. It is a time of gratitude, forgiveness, and renewal of spiritual commitments. Lastly, cultural and social significance. Ramadan is not only a religious observance, but also carries significant cultural and social importance. It brings communities together, strengthens bonds, promotes empathy and compassion, and fosters a sense of unity among Muslims worldwide. Now, overall, Ramadan is a sacred month that encompasses spiritual, social, and cultural dimensions, playing a central role in the lives of Muslims and reinforcing values of discipline, generosity, and devotion.
Hey, check out that hot stunner in the red top. Temptation is everywhere. Women in all shapes and sizes.
You think you can play the flute from one woman to the next like a soccer ball? You're risking your life and the lives of people you care about.
Life's about risks, bro. Don't get me wrong. I love my wife, but I need variety.
Talk to your wife about your needs. You might be surprised at what she wants.
Imagine a world where people understand that having more than one partner at the same time greatly increases their chances of getting HIV and puts their loved ones at risk. Imagine the possibility of an HIV-free generation. It begins with you.
Stop. Stop the proliferation of illicit arms. The proliferation of illicit small arms and light weapons has led to the untimely death of innocent citizens. This is not healthy for our growth and socio-economic development. The proliferation of illicit arms is having devastating effect in our land and has been plaguing our dear country, Nigeria. It is estimated there are over 6 million illicit arms in circulation in Nigeria. This huge number and overflow of weapons in the country have needlessly contributed to the very high levels of armed crimes, banditry, insurgency, terrorism, and political thuggery, thereby making the citizenry, including you, insecure. Nigeria is a great country. It belongs to you and me. We must work together to rid Nigeria of illicit small arms and light weapons. Stop gun running. Stop stockpiling. Stop selling your security and well-being for cheap. If you know anyone or group of persons involved in smuggling of small arms and light weapons or still stockpiling illicit arms, please report to the security agency nearest to you. The government is determined. Support the government so that we can live in a safe and secure environment. This message is brought to you by the National Center for the Control of Small Arms and Light Weapons.
You're welcome back. Now, Ramadan is a time of immense beauty, not only in its religious significance, but also in its impact on individuals and communities. Now, here are some of the several aspects about the beauty of Ramadan. Spiritual renewal. Ramadan serves as a period of spiritual rejuvenation and self-reflection. Muslims use this time to strengthen their connection with Allah through increased devotion, prayer and recitation of the Holy Quran. And the focus on spirituality and self-improvement brings a sense of inner peace and fulfillment. Unity and community. One of the most beautiful aspects of Ramadan is its ability to bring people together. Muslims around the world unite in fasting, prayer, and charitable acts, transcending geographical, cultural, and social barriers. And the communal spirit during Ramadan forces a sense of belonging and solidarity among individuals and communities. Empathy and compassion. Fasting during Ramadan cultivates empathy and compassion towards those less fortunate. As Muslims experience hunger and thirst firsthand, they develop a deeper understanding of the struggles faced by others, and this empathy translates into increased acts of charity and kindness, promoting a culture of generosity and care for the marginalized. Family and traditions. Ramadan is a time of families to come together and strengthen bonds, and the daily ritual of breaking fast, iftar, with loved ones creates moments of joy, sharing, and gratitude. Families often gather for special meals, prayers, and Tarawih prayers, fostering a sense of togetherness and tradition. Cultural festivities. In addition to its religious significance, Ramadan is also marked by cultural festivities and traditions. Decorated mosques, vibrant street markets, and the exchange of gifts and greetings contribute to the festive atmosphere. Traditional foods and sweets enjoyed during Ramadan add to the richness and of the experience of Ramadan. Personal growth. Ramadan encourages personal growth and self-discipline through fasting. Individuals develop resilience, willpower, and a greater appreciation for blessings. The emphasis on self-control and moderation extends beyond food and drinks, leading to positive changes in habits and lifestyle choices. Nights of Power, Laylatul Qadr. The anticipation and reverence for Laylatul Qadr, the Night of Power, add a mystical dimension to Ramadan. Muslims engage in intense worship and supplication during this blessed night, seeking forgiveness, blessings, and guidance. Now, Eid celebrations. The culmination of Ramadan with Eid al-Fitr brings a sense of joy and celebration. Muslims come together for prayers, feasts, and festivities, dressed in their finest attires, and the exchange of greetings, acts of charity, and expressions of gratitude make the Eid a time of happiness and unity. Now, in essence, dear listener, the beauty of Ramadan lies in its multifaceted nature, encompassing spirituality, community, empathy, cultural richness, personal growth, and joyful celebrations. It is a time that resonates deeply with the values of compassion, gratitude, and devotion, making it a cherished and meaningful period for Muslims world over. And as you know, today is the 16th day of Ramadan in the year 2024. I do hope you're having a beautiful Ramadan, and I'm wishing you a happy iftar celebration with your loved ones. Here at Voice of Nigeria, we're very keen about our dear listeners. All you need to do is send in your comment, your observation. I do hope you're having a beautiful Ramadan, and I'm wishing you a happy iftar celebration with your loved ones. Here at Voice of Nigeria, we're very keen about our dear listeners. All you need to do is send in your comment, your observation. Listening to Voice of Nigeria, we still have lots and lots of programs in store for you.
What are you reading, my dear?
It's a book about African businesswomen, Daddy.
Oh, that's nice.
I wish I could be one, too.
And you can, my dear. You are going to be a woman someday, and you will make your own life choices.
Visit your local health clinic to learn about the range of reproductive health and family planning services available and choose what method works best for you. An HIV-free generation is possible. It begins.